In this world, our battles are daily. They're fought daily. It says that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and that's not going to stop until you breathe your last. But I want you to know, though our battles rage daily, the warfare is accomplished.
Yeah.
And there was such able preaching going on, and I just, you know, I don't want to be. You know, we have this little joke there where I work at that, you know, they send all the inspectors down to the state and they take this state plumbing exam, and nobody has failed it. And so the pressure just mounts up to the next guy that's, you know, up in line to do this. It takes a lot of hours, it's a lot of effort, and it's a lot of studying, a lot of classes, and so forth. And that's how I feel right now. You know, I feel like every preacher the Lord has blessed. I suppose if I have to sit down, that's fine with me. I will say it's been good to be in the house of God, and it's good to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And even though the failure will be on me, I'll be happy to sit down if the Lord doesn't bless my efforts this evening. When Brother David started preaching about the resurrection, there was some of that was on my mind, and I don't intend to preach about that, but I do want to preach about our champion, Christ. And there's a story in particular that I have in my mind that I'd like to take you to. If you'll open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is one of my I love the story here that's set and laid out for us. I think that as the brother mentioned before, those two men going to Emmaus, how they didn't know who they were dealing with because it says their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Now let me tell you something. And he expounded unto them himself in the scriptures. I appreciated that. And I want you to know that you are not going to see him until he allows you to see him. Their eyes were holding, they should not know him. But you remember, their hearts were burning because there was something in them that connected. But the great gifts and glory and the wonders of the truth if you'll read on in that, I believe that's the last chapter of Luke there. If you'll read that, take it and read it for yourself, you'll notice one thing. They didn't understand the scriptures because somebody told them. They understood the scriptures because the Lord opened their eyes to the scriptures. And if we're to have that blessing at any time in our lives, it's because the Lord must open your eyes to it. We must see ourselves for what we are, and we must see Him for what He is. And the only way to really see how righteous the Lord God of heaven is see how unrighteous we are by nature. But this battle, though, is amazing because it depicts for me the greatest of battles. It depicts for me the warfare that's accomplished. Now, if you'll recall, Samuel was the last of the judges, and this nation, this great nation that God had made great, was asking for a king like the rest of the world, and Samuel was obviously upset about that, but he said, "Don't." He said, "It's not you they're rejecting; it's me they're rejecting." He said, "Well, I'll give him a king. You go out and pick this guy; he's going to be the king." I won't paraphrase that, but they got the king that they wanted, and boy, was he something else! And he wrought a lot of misery on the parents, and he wrought a lot of misery on David too. But there was so we find out then the Lord gives specific instruction in a particular, and I don't recall it off the top of my head because I don't want to get into too much reading here. But he says, when you go out to, and it might have been the Amorites, I'm not sure, but he says, when you go out to fight, then you slay them, everything. All the animals, all the young, all the old. And you can think to yourself, well, what kind of God is that? He's the God that reigns over all of His creation. He gave a specific instruction to an anointed king. And, of course, Samuel heard the bleating of the sheep, as you might recall, on his return trip. And he said, what is this that I hear? He said, "Well, I'll save these for the sacrifice of the Lord," because he thought he knew better than the Lord, and the Lord rejected him. And the Lord sends Samuel to the house of Jesse. And you know what? What I find interesting in the scriptures is for all that the Pharisees were, the hypocrisy and everything that went into all that, they were really big on being pure bred from Abraham. But you know what? The man Christ, if you'll follow his bloodline down, you'll find a Moabitess woman. You'll find a harlot. You'll find some interesting characters there that were not pure blood They were not straight. They didn't have the Hebrew blood in them. But I just find that amazing. So here we go, that we have one who is that the Lord sends Samuel to anoint. Now this is the one that, if you'll notice how when Samuel saw the seven sons pass before him, when he went to the house of Jesse, he said to himself, like maybe I would, surely it's got to be this one. I mean, look at this man. He looks like he should be king. Well, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. He looked like he might have been, should have been king too. But I'm reminded in the scriptures that the Lord God of heaven says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, saith the Lord. So when we think that we know something, the Lord says, your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And so another one passes before Samuel and says, surely this one must be the one. And the Spirit made no acknowledgement. And then they pass before him. And he says, is this all of them? He says, I got one more. He said, I won't leave until I see him too. And this young ruddy fella comes bebopping in there, and right away the Spirit said, that's the one. That's him. And Samuel anointed him right there. I'm going to tell you, and we know this, but we're not going to experience happiness and joy and the zeal of the Spirit of God unless God reveals Himself to you.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Your eyes are holding until they're opened.
Yeah.
This is the way that it works. He anointed that boy. Now, he wasn't the age of 21 yet because he wasn't old enough to go out to war. But his... Now, and Jesse was counted an old man in those days. I don't know how old he was, but he was an old man. And he sent some about 10 cheeses and some other victuals maybe to his brother's commanders, the ones that were over 1,000, to take these and see how your brothers do. And I suppose he wanted to know exactly how it went with them. So he goes down in there, and this is kind of where we're taking off here. I want to start reading a little bit. And it says, I'm in the 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 20, let's see. Well, let me just lay this out, because for the sake of time, I just want to lay this out. That the giant had already presented himself. They were fighting in the Valley of Elah, and for 40 days, this giant went in the morning and in the evening, and he cursed the Hebrews by his gods. And now it says that when the men came out to the battlefield, they were exceeding afraid of this fellow. And so... So now we're on the scene. This man's been doing this, is in the process of doing this. David comes on the scene bringing the food from the house of Jesse. And it says, verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now, when I was a kid growing up, there was, I don't know why it was, but I remember myself being afraid of death. I remember thinking, I could get myself worked up about that. And what was even worse is I could think about my mother and my dad being gone. And boy, that just tear me up. I mean, I'd get myself worked up in all kinds of a way. This is the great enemy of the people of God, you see. It says, and the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up, surely to defy Israel as he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now I want you to know, on the scene, the father of lies tells Eden in the garden here. Notice this. It's interesting because you can see, if you'll just use your... listen to the Spirit of truth, you'll see that in the world today, the same Spirit is around and will be until the Lord says it's enough. But in the garden there, this serpent that was in the tree, the Lord had forbid for them to take of the fruit. And what was Satan's response? That the Lord said. He said, you won't surely die. God's a liar. You won't surely die, because in the day that you eat this stuff, you'll be as gods. You'll be the leader of your own destinies. You'll be able to do it. There'll be nothing held back from you. You'll have it all. You'll be asked, God's knowing both good and evil. God didn't want them to know evil. This was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He did not want them to know of evil. Elsewise, He wouldn't have kept it from them. He wouldn't have told them not to do it. She was enticed, and she took of the fruit, and immediately she was ashamed. So was Adam. He's an enemy. He's a liar. Remember what Christ said to the Pharisees. He said, we have one Father, even God. He said, if God were your Father, then you'd love me because I proceeded forth and came from Him. He says, wherefore you love me not? Why don't you love me? Because you're not of my Father. Furthermore, He said, you're of your father the devil. He said, in the lust of him you'll do, for he was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And when he speaks the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. He says, why can't you understand my words? Even because you cannot hear my speech. All those that are of God's hears God's words. Am I worried about the children of God? No. Why? Because they don't depend on the preacher to be fed. Right. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying Christ said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
And they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. And that brother quoted the first chapter in the book of Hebrews. He says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son.
Yeah.
If you hear it, it's because the Lord has opened your eyes to it. Amen. And He's made you to see it. And happy are you. Happy are you. Not because of what I say. I'm just an old sinner. And I'm the one who contends in the flesh. Against the flesh. As you do too. I'm just a man. That doesn't say much. But this one, he was much more. Far more. He was the champion. And I'm telling you, this brother had a zeal now. It says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? And how he's come up? It said, the king will enrich him. Verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Yeah.
And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. But what he didn't see was the zeal of God working in David. He saw it from one perspective. But I'm telling you, when the Lord is pushing you, when the Lord is in you, you best not listen, not even to your own brothers. In the flesh. He said, I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? The Lord God gave Christ a commandment. This was His commandment. Life everlasting. There was a cause for that one to come down to us. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and he spake. And he is, and I'm telling you, he's lit up the zeal here. Now this is, he's not 21 yet. And he's not old enough to go out to fight.
Right.
And he's not been a soldier. He's not been trained like a soldier. What are you going to do, David? Well, the Lord has a way of making provisions for His people. There may be some conflict in your life that you're enduring right now that you're not going to understand that later on it's going to be used. And we're going to find that's going to be the case with David. He's going to be exposed to something pretty dangerous, but it's going to ready him for something else later down the road. We're going to read that here in a second. And he turned from him toward another, and he spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again. He was kind of stirring them up. He said, I'm thinking in my own mind. He's saying, what are you doing? What are you sitting around worried about this guy? He's defying God. What are you doing? You ever sit around and wonder why people don't just say, look, I don't believe that. I'm not going that way. Forget it. I'm not. You can, if that's what you want to do, you do it. I'm going to go this way. David's saying, why aren't you taking arms and going up? The Lord is on our side. It says, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And it says, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's... Now, I love this. He said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. You know, Christ says, in the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. for I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Are you of good cheer? I have been. This last few days, and when the Lord blesses me here a little and there a little, and I can. It's just Him saying, "Remember, remember." When life gets down, now I get pressed down over the cares and troubles of life. The Lord comes in this small still voice. Remember, Brother John. And what do I see when He says, "Remember the cross"? I see my champion. Saul said, "David, thou art not able." I mean, if the world would have saw this, if the world seeing Christ, this is a carpenter's son. They were offended at him. This is not Mary's son? The carpenter? Him? That's what it is. Yeah. Permanent Baptist? What? You're in good company. In the world you have tribulation. To be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You're not of the world. Marvel not if the world hates you. He said, "That's strong language, Brother John." Yeah, the Lord, He shot straight. He told you like it was.
Amen.
He said, "Marvel not if the world hates you. Know ye not it hated me first." You're not a friend of the world. The Lord says, "Come ye out and be separate from among them, and I will receive you."
Right.
The world's got it the wrong way. The Lord said, "I'll receive you." Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against him." And it says, He says, "For thou art a youth and a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." And there came a lion. Oh, well, what was the reason for the lion and the bear? It was going to let David know that he had somebody on his side that would get him through anything. David had this experience with his father's sheep. It's no mystery. I mean, it's no coincidence that David is a shepherd. It's no coincidence that he kept his father's sheep. And it's no coincidence when one of those sheep got taken by the enemy, he went and got him and saved him from the enemy. Not once, but twice. Say, where does it say twice? Well, the lion and the bear. I don't expect that to happen at the same time. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think each time he went. One time was a lion, one time was a bear. And you know what he did? He took him by the beard. And he got that lamb back. He's out on this field and he's looking at this. He's looking at this fella, and the Spirit of the Lord is saying, "That's the enemy." Now, this is what I want to read a little bit more here, and I've got some other places I want to go. And it says here. So we know the story. He tried the armor. He tried the wrong armor first. You need to know that when we put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. This armor here is so inadequate. It's unreal. David would have never been able to survive that attack with the armor of Saul. It would have never worked out. God wouldn't have been glorified because David was taking something that was earthly and not heavenly. It says in the Philistine, and by the way, the Philistine, I don't know however you account a cubit, but it could be 18 inches, it could be 21 inches. It depends. They say a cubit is about the distance between the elbow and the middle finger. Well, that's about 18 inches. Well, some account it to be 21 inches. It depends on if it's a royal cubit or if it's another kind of cubit. Really, I don't really care because of the exact measurements here. But if you want to be conservative, Goliath was at least 9.5 feet tall. If you want to be conservative. And the coat, the male coat that he wore is about 150 pounds. The conservative number is about 125 pounds. He had a protector around his neck. He had he had the chainmail on. He had the helmet, you know, and he had the greaves on his shins. This was an awesome spectacle. And if you're talking about weight, a man about 9.5 feet tall with 150 pounds of armory, his spear was about 15 pounds. And he had a shield bearer that went out in front of him. And here comes David. And this behemoth is looking. And his disdain, "You send me a boy with a stick like I'm a dog?" I love this exchange. It says, "And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And then when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." It says, in one place he was beautiful to look at. And here we are, a hard war veteran here. "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That's little g, by the way. "And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." This was the champion of the enemy. And he was in the face of David in a big way. And all these men of the army of Israel, exceedingly afraid, sore afraid, fled from him morning and evening, 40 days. What a spectacle this was. I mean, I'm going to use a little bit of presumption and say David was in his teens, somewhere in his teens. That's all I'm going to say. Maybe he was 20. I don't know. I don't think he was 8 or 7 or whatever. I mean, I could be wrong with that, but I don't think so. I think he was a young man. It says, and the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Anyway, he says, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine. He's loaded with zeal. Listen, this is a righteous zeal. He said, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now he's got somebody on his side, and he's got the best company that he could be in. This day, will the Lord deliver thee into my hand? Oh, it's not a doubt. He's not at all doubting this. I mean, I want you to know this. He's not doubting what's fixing to happen. This day, and something else someone said to me one time, he said, Brother John Monk, I challenge you to read the Scriptures and see when a brother, when anyone was filled with the Spirit of God, were they feared? You won't find it. He said, I challenge you to find that. It won't be found. David's filled right here. I'm telling you, he's filled. And when people tell you, if you've ever got a conversation where people say, if somebody came to you and you got into a way and they made you make a decision between your faith or your life, would you be able? That's kind of a foolish question, really, because there's only one real answer. If you say, oh yeah, I would. Well, you know that one person always says, well, if I was there, I'd do this or I'd do that. Would you? Really? Have you stared that one in the face before? And if you haven't, how can you be so sure? But I can be sure about one thing. If the Spirit of God ignites me and I'm on fire for the Lord, you can forget it. It's all going to work out fine. And you can endure patiently anything that besets you in the Spirit of God. I'm going to have to get on here. I'm going to run out of time. He says this to the giant, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines. Now he's saying this loud enough for everybody to hear. They're in a valley. It's sound carries up really well. Everybody's listening here. The witnesses' accounts are everywhere. The Philistines are hearing David. The armies of Israel is hearing David. He says, this day, I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines. He's saying, when I'm done with you, I'm going to give their bodies to the fowls of the air. Unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. He's got a shield bearer out there. He's got all the armory on. That David hasted. He ran. Hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. So he takes the sword of Goliath and he severs his head. And remember what he said now. He said, when I'm done with you, I'm getting them. And what happened to the Philistines? They took off. That's it. Oh, he just took our champion out like that. Guess what? Christ has come. He's defeated him that had the power of death. He's the enemy of God's people. This David went out on the battlefield for his people. Not a one of those men had enough of anything to go out there and fight him. But the champion went out and he won the battle. And when David went after what was left, the armies of Israel came in after him. And this is the way it is with our Lord. He's defeated death in the grave. And we shall follow after. And there is nothing to be afraid of. Fear, perfect love casteth out fear. David said, Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. He said, you beset me before, around me, in every which way. He said, thou knowest every word of my tongue, Lord, before I speak it all together. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Guess what? If it's too wonderful for David, it's too wonderful for me. And people say, all you got to do, David says, it's too wonderful for me. The Spirit in the 8th chapter of Romans says, we know not what to pray for even. We don't know what to pray for, but there's a Spirit. There's a Spirit in you that resides in you that makes groanings, that makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. You see, the Lord has equipped His people. And we have the Spirit of God in us. He said, thou knowest my uprising, my downsetting, my uprising. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it all together. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I flee from the presence of the Lord? He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in it, he said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell into the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right arm shall uphold me. If I say, the night shall cover me up, lo, all is light about me. This brother knew the Lord. He didn't know the Lord because he had a haiku. The Lord revealed Himself. And if the Lord has revealed Himself to you, there is nothing to be afraid of. Paul says this. Look, he says, I'm going to go over here and read a little bit. I'm going to start drawing my remarks to a close because I think that's about, my time is just about sped. But I want to read this over. I want to read this to you over in the 1 Corinthians letter. Paul said this, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And guess what? Satan's situation is always temporary. You know that he thought that he had robbed something from the Lord at the fall of Adam. And in the grave is where the Lord went and spoiled. He took back what was His. He redeemed those that Satan had supposed that he was going to get. And the Lord wrought that victory. He defeated him that had the power of death. It says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The great enemy of God's people has been defeated. Our battles may rage in this life, and they will until we breathe our last. But the warfare is accomplished.
Amen.
We have the gospel truth, and I know you know this. And I just want to say this because it's so true, that we understand that this is just what sheds light on the truth. The gospel does. Brings life and immortality to light. Brings it to light. Doesn't change it. Whether I believe it or not, wouldn't change it in one bit. But we understand that this is what brings it to light. We have this knowing how it is because our great champion has defeated him that had the power over death in the grave. He's freed you. You're free. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what troubles you find yourself in, you are free. Free indeed. And I would encourage each and every one of you to continue to press on in Christ. I would encourage each and every one of you to continue to meet together, not to forsake the assembly of yourself together as a matter of some. I would encourage each and every one of you, please, to pray for me in my house. And pray for us there at Dixie over in Whitesboro. And let us continue to meet together, looking over each other for good, not for evil, to encourage one another. And I appreciate the encouragements of the brethren, all of them. I thank God for the great gifts that He's given us, the facets of the diamond that He's cut. And so anyway, go ahead, come on ahead, brother. Here, that's all I've got. And if you got any good out of this, we'll give God the praise for it. Thank you.